I haven't had a lot of dreams lately, or especially a long, long time, but I had but a couple of weeks. I didn't share it last Sunday or anything, but a weird one. And I was with a bunch of people, and for some reason, I had my shoes off. I was stocking-footed, but there was grass. We're standing, you know, we're outside of a house somewhere. And we're talking, and the people begin to complain. And they were complaining about the churches that they were going to. And I didn't say anything. And I think they were waiting to see what I would say. It was one of those things. And so finally, I mean, they were just complaint. And I thought, why do you go there? And then finally I said, well, you know, the Bible says they were waiting for that. They were setting me up. The Bible says that in the last days, that the perilous time, that men are going to be have form of godliness, church systems, and deny God's power. And they got mad at me. That's all I said. They were angry. They were waiting for me. And so anyway, now I'm embarrassed because I thought we had a good thing going. And they were pointing their fingers at me. I could still see it, you know. And I walked away, sheepish, kind of embarrassed, and felt dumb. And my car was parked, next to the grass on the side. And so I hurried as fast as I could, and went around my car, and I got inside. And I looked, and some guy was running towards the car. And so I did everything I could to lock the doors before he got there because I didn't want company. But he made it, and he got inside, and it was Dale. That was the end of the dream. I don't know, you know, not that dreams have any necessary substance to them, but that was a dream I had. And I thought, you don't want to be the one to find fault with them. They can find all the fault they want with their system, but you don't want to be the one. Well, I heard a scripture, and it's one of those scripture settings that you hear it, and you hear it, and you hear it, and you hear it, and then one day you hear it. And that's why I brought this morning. Does that make any sense to anybody?
I took an interest in it.
Well, you're on here. You're on this. I couldn't resist it this morning. This is a lilac bush, but this represents us. And this part here is the vine. And I want to read some scriptures. I maybe read this setting a couple of times. I think I called Ken, didn't I, about this? And it's in the 15th chapter of John. And anyway, if there's any scripture setting that shows us the foolishness of the Trinity and the existing oneness of today, it is John 15. And the other thing is, I am beginning to realize how ignorant the church system is of the scriptures. Whether it's willingly ignorant or whatever else it is, because there's no way possible that you could believe in the Trinity and believe John 15. You can't do it. It's impossible. And it says it here. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. That's not really a Trinity setting. You know, the husbandman and the vine. How do you get a Trinity setting out of this? Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Have you felt any purging? Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Now these are, it seems like these are separate thoughts as we go through, but they're not. And then in verse 4, abide in me. See, you know, down in verse 7, remember, if you abide in me. Well, anyway, here he says, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abides in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. Now he is repeating himself on purpose. I am the vine. Verse 5. You are the branches. I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. And then here was the verse or the statement I heard. For without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. Yeah, but if you got God, you're okay, aren't you? You can't have God unless you have Him. Without me, you can do nothing. If a man abides not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. And then verse 7, which I have quoted frequently, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, it shall be done. You know, we've misquoted that. I have misquoted that verse so many times over the years. And we used to sing a song, you know, ask what you will and it shall be done. Except that we've missed the abiding in Christ and His words abiding in us. Somehow we missed all this. You know what I'm saying? But if we don't abide in Him, it says we are withered and we are cast forth and burned in the fire. Well, anyway, I don't know if I should tell Jean what she looks like or not, but
you know,
each one of these represents us, Jean. According to whoops, down no, down we go. But
branches on the vine.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. And anyway, this has been a week of enlightenment, and I realize there's no way that you can believe in some of the doctrines the church believes in and still believe the Bible.
Lord.
You can't believe the Bible. Because John 15 separates us from the doctrines that we have embraced. I mean, that I have myself. But anyway, if I can sit down, I will.
I want to take care of the vine and the branches here. Mm-hmm. You know, it was purged there, though, Keith. You know, that book of John is a good book, isn't it? You know, I want to read a verse from it. Jesus was before Pilate. And Pilate asked him, "Thou art a king then?" Jesus said, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." that scripture is just resonate. You know, it's been on my mind here. Being of the truth, you know, of the truth. And I don't know, how do you become of the truth? The thought that was on my mind was, you know, I was watching Ken out my window the other day. He was sitting in the sun, you know, just right on him. You can turn from the sun, you know. And it's not full on. The sun has a glancing effect on you, but it's not, you know, it's not full on. And translating that to this, I want to be turned as directly as I can into that sun, into the truth, into the, you know, and hear his voice. You know, you can hear a murmur, make out a word or two, or hear, you know, if you're not attending. But no. I want to be direct, you know, right there with that truth shining on me, just full, and then hear his voice. You know, hear his voice. It, you know, it feeds. If your heart is in that direction to be of the truth, get yourself as straight as you can to the truth, you're going to get more fed, more truth. Hear his voice. Hear the stuff he has to say. Have that. Have the Spirit be able to mix with the Word and become more truth. You know. Anyway. Didn't do Pilate much good. He asked, what is truth? You know, at least I guess it didn't do him much good. I don't know. You know, that there's we quote Pilate as saying, what is truth? Maybe he had an open heart in connection with this thing. I didn't wait for an answer, but you know, he's a you know, especially here in John. I get the sense that Pilate was a very troubled man. He did not want to be responsible for the death of the king, the one from God. You know, but I guess he didn't have enough, didn't want to keep it from happening. But anyway, it was tough. Tough position he was in.
Thank you, Lord, for the purging. Not so much the memory.
If I remember, I think he had to do that a couple of weeks back.
It'll be more frequent, maybe. At the beginning of the week, leading up to Wednesday, I was having really some good prayer time in the morning, and then after Wednesday, it kind of went, you know. And, I could just tell. And then I just kind of thought, I don't think this is just me, you know. I think somebody doesn't like it. And then by about yesterday morning and then this morning, it had all changed again. And really feeling an uplifting. I got about 2-3 different ways to go here, and I'm trying to let the Spirit lead the way. But I think I'm going to go with the one part. I was sitting here listening to one of the last songs that that. I love the introduction to the one where it says, teach me in your ways. That introduction, I can just go, I just love this, just how that plays. It just affects my spirit. But, and I was sitting there, and then I'm just going to let this go here. I might ask you to try to just maybe close your eyes and enter into your spirit side. And hear the Father say, I am here. I am here. Oh, my children, lovers of the truth, whoever is listening, I am here. I am here. I am here. I am here. Glory. And that just, I mean, that just filled my spirit this morning. And, you know, it's not trying to be exclusive or inclusive or whatever. It's open to whosoever. But I am here. I've been a little affected by when Keith called me about that, because it got me thinking about Christ. And I'd been praying before that, you know, every now and then, that I want to have the Spirit of Christ in me. You know, because it's true. I know there's a separation, and I loved it when that revelation came that God is God. He is my Father, and He is God. And that's who I'm reconciled unto. But how? Yeah, there is no other way but through Jesus Christ. And that's and I thank Him continually because of what He did. And I can't comprehend how He could walk like He did, but I am eternally going to be grateful. And so I've been trying to just invite Him more and more into my life, my spirit, to guide me, you know, and to be purged. And I've had some of that lately, and you know, it's restored. For a while back, I don't know when it was, but I knew when I was speaking at times that there was an authority, and it wasn't mine, you know, it was coming from the Lord. And I'm feeling that coming back again. And not me, you know, it's God doing His thing. And I'm thinking, why are different ones of us beginning to feel this? Well, there has to be a reason. Because He's going to do something. And I know He's going to do something. And of course, I'm hoping that, well, and He knows. And when He does it, He'll know we're in the place we need to be to do it. To not let it be a failure again, or have to learn. Well, maybe it might have to be learned by another mistake, but I'm praying not, you know, as we have in the past. But glory to those. That's how He makes you. That's how He purges you, you know. And yeah. Wouldn't it be nice if it would only take a couple weeks or days instead of 10, 20 years? But who cares if it comes to the end of what it's supposed to come to? And that's what I'm looking forward to. And I kind of asked the Lord this morning. I kind of wanted to read in the Word, but I didn't know where I wanted to read. And I just kind of waited, and well, I ended up at Galatians. And you know, right in the very introduction, it just says a lot. And this what Keith opened up with about the vine and the branch. I mean, it's becoming so clear.
Yes, it is.
But and here's what makes a difference. Paul, an apostle. And now, and it does have it in parentheses, this next part. not from man, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me. You know, when the church sees that it's not from men, nor through men, but through Jesus Christ, their lives will change if they're open to it. You know? And I don't know, I was reading, I thought, well, I just kept reading. And I think I will maybe read this first chapter. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father. He wasn't acting on his own. According to the will of his God, our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him, God, who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. You know what just happened with some of them? They started hearing from man and through man. And you know, I noticed there was always this conflict, and now there's a conflict also that came later. But the conflict actually for them was those that wanted to keep going back to the law. And they didn't want to accept the grace of Jesus Christ being the Savior that wiped away the law, and by faith you are saved. Well, what's happened then after the Gentiles, not being in that same setting, didn't want to keep believing that there's one God and one Lord and Christ Jesus and a man, the Son of Man. And so then they started hearing from men and through men. You know? I'll go on. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. You know, I would say it's pretty awfully important to know what the gospel of Christ is. Yeah. Don't you, from that? I mean, even if angels come and try to tell you different. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant for Christ. Guess what? Is that a wake-up call?
Yes, it is.
You know? I'm feeling he's moving us closer and closer to that walk. For I neither received it from man. For I neither received it from man, nor as I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous, listen to this, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. Not the word. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me. Isn't that why we want him in us?
Yes.
And I know he is. That I might preach him among the Gentiles. I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. But I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. You know what he did? He said, I want to hear from God myself. Just between me and him. Even though the apostles they were obviously anointed, and you know. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Now concerning the things which I write to you, indeed, before God, I do not lie. Afterward, I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was unknown by face to the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they were hearing only. He who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy. And they glorified God in me. Then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and also took Titus with me. And I went up by revelation and communicated to them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to those who are of reputation, lest by any means I might run or had run in vain. Yet, not even Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And this occurred because of false brethren secretly brought in, who came in by stealth, to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we did not yield submission even for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Now, I guess I'm going to stop. There was a one, I got to see that. Oh, yeah. And it goes on. He has this discussion with Peter and the apostles and everything, and it goes into the part about and the scripture foreseeing, this is 3:8, the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, "In you all the nations shall be blessed." So then, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Now, it goes down, and you know where it says, "In Abraham you will have a seed," not seeds, but a seed, you know. And for a long time, I guess I wasn't really clear about all that. I kept thinking, well, we're the seed, you know. But you know who the original seed was? Christ. And that's why, you know, It can look like Christ was back then, but what it is, it's a prophecy of what the seed was going to be that was told to Abraham before the circumcision, so that had nothing to do with entering the kingdom of God. It was faith that was going to bring you in. All right. And this I say, that the law, which was 430 years later, cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by God in Christ, that should make the promise of no effect. And so it makes you inheritance. Now, this one, I'm just going to touch on verse 20. Now, a mediator does not mediate for one only. But there's an exception. Now, a mediator does not mediate for one only, but God is one. So get everything else out of your minds and start there. And then see what the scripture says. You know? God is one. That's why, because God is one, he's not the branch and he's not the vine. He's the vine dresser. He created the vine and the branches. You know? Not involved in that. And who? And then it goes on to say, you know, we are baptized into who? Jesus Christ. You can't be baptized into God. How could, what would the relation be? He hasn't died. He hasn't, you know. But Christ has died and has been resurrected. And so that, why is there baptism? For one, the washing of, you know, the flesh, basically. But it's that you die also to yourself and are resurrected a new creature in Christ. Born again from above, you know. So it's, I'm getting excited. I mean, I'm starting to see that there's stuff coming. It's, and you know, I, and how does God do a work in somebody? Well, that's somewhat of a mystery, because you can say, well, I could say, well, I finally got to the place. Yeah, how did I get to the place? You know? And it is some of your will involved, obviously. I mean, and it's choices. But it's kind of like, from hearing the Word of God, there's been a fear that's been put there. And no matter what, how great it felt to be kind of fellowshipping in the world a little bit and da-da-da, whatever, the fear was greater that I could miss out. And I thought, nothing's worth missing out for eternity. You know, that finally settled in, not to the full degree, but enough to get me wanting to change. And then it's crying out to the Lord. Because you can't do any more after that. You need Him to do the changing. You need Him to do the purging and the convicting of your soul. You know, to see things and want to be rid of them. And God is faithful. You know, it didn't happen overnight, but if you faithfully keep asking and believing that He can bring you to where you should be, He will do that.
You know, you're really blessed when you see God's plan and you recognize it. It's not God's plan, but it is, and you don't see it until it happens. For those of you here for the song service, you might have picked up on a theme, and something has been happening in me, and it really relates back to 1 Timothy 2:5. And really, if you look at 1 Timothy 2:5, if you look really hard, it tells you everything you need to know.
That's right.
I've sort of been in this spot where, over the years, we have ebbs and flows of understanding and revelation, and we have been on, I would say, a little bit of a elevate God, don't over-emphasize Christ. And I didn't get a call this week. No one called me. In fact, I was afraid I offended Keith and had to fix that on Saturday. But this morning and this week, it's occurred to me we are maybe too focused on God and not focused on the One. Not focused enough on the path, the way. And, you know, the things that brought me to that is, well, what do I know about God? If I know to look at Him, I die. He's so amazing, I can't comprehend Him. So why am I trying to do that? What's the benefit of trying to understand God when He tells you it's beyond you? And since I created you, I can tell you, when I say it's beyond you, that effort in trying to understand God is kind of not really fruitful. It's good to know who He is, good to understand. What do you really, really, really need to know? You need to know His Son. You need to know He is the way. And you need to know there is one God. So, on my own, outside of what everybody's been doing, and I have been not in the men's Wednesdays, and I haven't been here a lot, so I am out there. I'm not plugged in like, yet God decided, you know, who's the mediator? Where are you at? what is your focus? 1 Timothy 2:5. He is the way. Okay, good. I'm on that. And so I've kind of had this little shift. In no way am I diminishing God, but I am kind of like, you know, I need to really focus on the way through the Word. So I just find it interesting how God does these things, because I'm not in tune with where maybe some of the thinking is going. Yet I'm in tune, because God is still in my life, still on my heart, still working on me. And, you know, it's just so funny, because I try and work these things out. In the natural or the, I don't know, you know, if you just want to scratch the surface of the scriptures, you walk away with Trinity and you walk away with Jesus and all these powers, and therefore he's a God. And then as you dig a little bit deeper, you go, well, no, that's not right. He is not a God. He's just the Son of God. And he has these powers because the Father gave them to him. And then you sort of, and it takes you down to, well, God is really, he is it. And then you keep going and you go, no, he's not it. He's it, but Jesus is the way. So, you know, I kind of come back and I go, you know, so I'm over here, and then I kind of come back and I go, you know, and all that's going on is I'm continuing in the race. I'm continuing to find him, and he continues to refine my understanding because we get more and more revelation. You know, why do we keep looking at the Word? Because the Word keeps changing. Not right from wrong, or left to right, or up or down. It's just like, well, you sort of knew this. But now you know the basis for that. And now you know the basis for that. And you just keep getting down to the truth and the heart of God. And I'm always amazed at how he continues to allow us to be together if we're seeking him when we're not together. Because he is everywhere. He is here. And if you're looking for him, you'll hear him.
Church organization by organization, each has a theme. And the theme is, we know God. If you want to find God, you come to our church or our organization and you do what we do. If you do what we do, you'll find God. And what happened, Jesus said, I think Corky made a statement here. His ways are past finding out. How do you get to know of that? And then Jesus said, if you want eternal life, you have to know him. And then Daniel says, they that do know him are going to be strong and do exploits. And it's like, he's invisible. So I can't see him. There's not any image I can make that represents God, so I can't naturally in any way know God. It has to be done some other way. And so the Bible says, it says in Peter, it says that by these exceedingly great and precious promises, we become partakers of God's divine nature. Well, something can happen in us, apparently, that gets us with the right relationships, we get to start getting to know God. And, you know, I think I have been like Philip, and I've been like a lot of other people. It's like Moses. You know, if I could just see him. You know, whatever you can see with the natural eyes, it'll make you believe. And it wouldn't, but I mean, that's how you think. And I've got to the place, somehow, I'm not interested in seeing God. I want to know God. No man has seen God. You might as well say no man is going to see God. But the only begotten Son who is in the bosom, it says he has declared him, but let me tell you what it is. He has exposed him. He has expressed him. He has revealed. You know what I'm saying? And so I am starting, and this is why this thing with Ken, you know, you mentioned about all of a sudden a different experience in prayer. And I can feel that when I'm saying it, but I have been, this morning I didn't. I overslept. Slept till 6. And, but normally I'm awake 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, or whatever, and pray for an hour. And so then I'll sit in my chair and lean back and worship. And what has happened is a strange thing. When deliverance came in 82, and I'd go to bed at night, and Joanne couldn't sleep in the same bed because the bed shook. It vibrated. The Spirit of the Lord was on me so strong. It was just one of those things. And I couldn't necessarily feel it. When the Spirit came on me that night, and I was praying for Vicki, Vicki knew what had happened a long time before I did. She knew the Spirit had come on me, but I didn't know that. But anyway, as I'm sitting in the chair worshiping, and a lot of times, not every time, but a lot of times, I can feel this trembling all over my system, every part of me. And it's like, I don't know how I would have related before, but now I know what it is. God is allowing me to feel His Spirit. And I have rejoiced in it, and I have been thankful in it. And it's like, it's not, I don't deserve any part of it, but it's, God is letting me know that He's there. And it's a good experience. The Bible says, in Acts, it says that, whoops, I knocked us over again. In Acts, it says that those of Berea were more noble than those of Thessalonica, because they searched the word daily, or I think daily, to see if what Paul was saying was the truth. Well, let me tell you something. When I heard the voice, I mean, I have thought lots about that ever since, but when I heard this voice, it said, if you want to find me, and I thought, I already have found him. In my mind, that's not, I already know the Lord. And if you want to find me, you got to look for me where I am. And then it says in Matthew 18:3, it says, except unless you become converted and become as little children, you can't enter into the kingdom of heaven. And let me tell you what conversion is. In that sense, we have to be converted to looking in the wrong place and start looking in the right place.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
I have looked in church after church after church after church. And you know, there's a scripture in Amos where it says they'll travel from the, I think it says, from sea to sea, from the north to the east, or east to the north, or something. And it's to find the Word of God, and they shall not find it. Because they're not looking in the right place. Because the only place you can find God is in this Word. Because the only begotten Son is the only one that can reveal Him, and this is the Word that God spoke to us through that Son. That, you want to find God? Right here. So when I heard that voice, and it says, if you want to find me, you got to look for me where I am. You know, that didn't make a lot of sense, except that somewhere inside of me, something said, the only place you can find God is in His Word. That's the only place you can find Him. And then I was struck with this idea. You know what I got to do? I got to start listening to his word day and night. And so Joanne, you know, she was in the kitchen, we were talking. I said, we got to start listening to the scriptures day and night. And she says, but how do you do that? We got work to do. We got other things to do. You know, not, I took her by surprise. And I'll never forget that. And anyway, and so we've been doing that. But let me tell you something. Not only are you represented by that vine that, or that just fell on the floor, but let me tell you something else. I hate to use this word, but all of you are weird. You're weird. And I'll tell you why. Because there's not very, very many people anywhere that will drop their traditions and whatever and just listen to God's word. There's not many people that will do that. As a matter of fact, it has been hard for me to do that. There's still traditions that every so often I look, you know. And what was the comment today somebody made? In 2 Corinthians, this is what they said, but I thought of it. 2 Corinthians chapter either 10:5 or 5:10. 10:5. It says, bringing every thought into obedience to the captivity of Christ. The branch needs to do that. The vine needs to do the thinking, the direction. To as many as are led by the Spirit, they're the sons of God. You follow what I'm saying? We have to submit, get to the place where everything that our thoughts are in submission to Christ. He's the vine. We are the branches off that vine. I've been doing a lot of thinking in the last week. One question. Bonnie, is Bonnie okay? Does anybody know?
I think you know, Charlie spoke at that church. He was asked to speak at Fellowship Church, and Bonnie was there. They have this thing going on for Pentecost. Judy Holmes somehow.
Oh.
And so I think Bonnie's probably just during this time been taking the kids to it.
Well, I just hoping she wasn't sick or something.
I don't think so.
So, but anyway, it's good.
If anyone or an angel tells you any other gospel besides, you know, the true gospel, you know, rebuke him. And I know that is a great foundation, reason, as a conversation starter or to lead someone to read the word on their own. You know, how can you know the gospel? I mean, unless you take it on your own. It's just so good. I'm going to keep that, Ken. I'm going to save it. I hope so. That's great. That's great. Loki had to go someplace. He was saying something about, you know, not understanding God. That's what he said. About not understanding God, so focusing on Jesus, unless I missed something. But, you know, Jesus says, this is life eternal, that you might know him. He did not say, this is life eternal, that you might understand him, which is a difference.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? No, we don't, to know him is different than to understand them. We can't understand them. We can know him. And So I, if Corky was here, I would tell him, unless I didn't understand what he said. But we can definitely know him. The branch keeps falling down, but we know the branch. You know, we don't understand how it got there, how it, and anything happens. There's a parable that I'm going to misquote for sure, but I'm going to get the idea. He says, Jesus, the kingdom of heaven is like a sower that plants seed, and then the sower goes to bed at night, and then the seed grows at night, or when he's not watching, it grows, and he does not know how it grows. But it grows, and it's there. You know, so the seed can, you don't have to know how the seed grows. You just see it grow, and it grew. So, anyways, into the same subject of, you know, no, we can't understand that. That is a true statement. He's ununderstandable. You know, if anyone thinks that they understand him, they don't know him. You know what I mean? Anyways, there's a friend from America I've known, and I could compare him to Paul, just before he starts talking, Jesus starts ministering to him. Just before. And in many ways. And but he's got church coming to him. A lot of church coming to him. Church for all over the place. And I think that if the church is not stopped, he's going to miss the ride. Anyway, so I'm going to... So when we pray, I like to pray for him. You can see the hunger and the desire and the willingness and the openingness and the change from being a Christian murderer to being ready to listen to Jesus. But he's got a handicap, so he can't use his hands to push buttons or whatever. And he can't pick up his Bible and read it on his own. So his God is church to tell him what's up or down. And I can see that he's being hindered by it. And he doesn't know that yet. But soon I'm gonna somehow bring him a little Bible player and set it up so he can listen. So I like prayer for that, because unless he doesn't get the word on his own, he's going to be full of church. And you know.
Pablo, I like that you said he doesn't get it yet.
Do you want me to put this back up? You know, I really appreciate that Jabob just brought. I got a little when Corky mentioned can't understand God, because my thought is, no, not in the natural. You can't know anything about God, you know, but in the spirit. And if God's that awesome and he wants you to know him, you can know him. But that's the key. That I just said it. That makes a lot more sense, to know him. I can't understand everything about God. But you know what? If God wants me to understand something about him, he can make that happen.
Yeah, that's true.
But so, you know, and I know that. And you know, I think because I remember God gave her the revelation. It kind of became apparent to me at a time, and this is not tooting my horn, you know that, because I don't come up with anything, and you don't come up with anything. But it seemed like, you know, a few years back, it was important to make a separation of who God, and, you know, and that he's the one we really do need. But lately, I've been feeling like, but, you know, I need, there's something like I've, maybe, and you do, and we've done this in the past. When God brings something new, you go way to the one side until it gets kind of evened out, and then you come back and you settle in, you know. And I think that's what we're doing now is, okay, now that we know, you know, that there is a God and then there is a Son of God, now we can start to have both of them come into us, you know. And so lately, yeah, I've been feeling the need, too, to incorporate Christ much more in my life, because I'm not going to get anywhere without him, you know. I'm just not going to get anywhere without him. While I was up, it was earlier, and Corky had played a song before some of the others got here, and there was a few of us up front here praying, and I heard a song, and it just really affected me, and I felt compelled then to go talk to Corky to remember it, and I was going to have him play it maybe right before we come up at the end so that we could worship. And I know that Pablo's mentioned that. And so they said that they're seeing their mother's going on a trip, his mother. So they're just going to go. So I think they left a little earlier and they're going to, so they can come back. So if he does come back, I'd like to do that if we could. And I would also like to, with absolutely no condemnation or anything else, encourage any of you to maybe start coming just a little bit earlier and take in a few songs. I've had God meet me so often up here in the front praying before the service with the music, you know. And it helps, I don't know. I think it's kind of like, maybe it's like David playing the Psalms before Saul, you know, or whatever, to calm the spirits or whatever. But, you know, if possible, and it doesn't have to happen, you know, immediately, but just start kind of letting that be in the back of your mind, maybe to come a little earlier, and maybe then we will start generating some attitudes of worship or whatever, you know? Because, hey, I'm looking for anything simple. It doesn't have to get all involved. And I don't know, it could, but, you know, it doesn't have to start there. Just honest expression, that's all we need. Honest expression from our hearts unto the Lord. And that we give a little maybe opportunity to do that with one another. So, because I don't, like, I know officially, I think our services are supposed to start at what? 9:45 or 10? I never get here then. You know, but I'm starting to want to come a little earlier because I really enjoy the time to let my spirit just kind of calm, you know, my flesh get pushed off to the side and let the Spirit come and just begin to minister. So just a, you know, encouragement to maybe do that.
So now if somebody else wants to share, then you can share it.
Well, I'll just reiterate everything that's been said and then say, yeah, Jesus, Jesus Christ. Philip said, show us the Father. And I don't think he wanted to just see the Father. I think he wanted to know the Father. And Jesus said, hey, how long have you known me? If you know me, you know the Father. And so, yeah, we got to go through Jesus. And we want, yeah, God is unfathomable and blah, blah, blah. But that's one of the beauties of our relationship with Jesus Christ, is that we can boldly go into that throne room, you know, but it's got to be through Jesus.
Amen.
Trying to waste time.
Yeah. I have a little small testimony. I didn't think of it when I was up here.
I put myself in a little jeopardy yesterday just to kind of see, but I was going to go watch Beckett. Every year they have, you know, the Eau Claire Marathon is on today. And so on Saturdays they always have a run for the kids down at the Eau Claire College track. And so I was going to go watch them at 4. So I thought, well, I also happened to get a newsletter from a place because I was there a little more often than I need to be. And that would be, you know, anyway, that serves. Well, I'll get into that. But So there's going to be a food truck there. And I like, it's the Marigold, and they have these panini sandwiches that are just delicious. So I kind of waited to have my lunch before that and then go watch Beckett. So it's at an establishment that serves, you know, craft beer. So I went in, and I, you know, I went in, and what do you want? Well, I'll have a root beer. And so I had a root beer. But then I thought, well, I'm going to, so I tasted two of the new releases, little ones. And I was no desire to have one. So I just had my root beer, ate my sandwich, and then I went to watch Beckett. And so, you know, that was a victory. Because it wasn't that, you know, it wasn't a big deal one way or the other, which is the way I would like it to be. You know, not saying that I won't maybe have one, whatever, but it just, yeah, it wasn't important at the time to just have one just because I was there. So that was a good thing. And little Beckett, he's ran at the one. He's six, so he ran the 1 mile. They have a half mile and 1 mile, and he ran the 1 mile. And then they were all sitting around, and then some kids were going and running some more. So I want to run it again. So we went and ran it again. So he ran 2 miles, and it was a good time. But what was there? Was, and then I was thinking there was one other little thing. I don't want to embarrass you, Paul, but do you think you've had some victory from what happened Wednesday?
Wednesday?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, I'm feeling way better. I mean, way better.
Able to pray? The.
I fell asleep. I mean, I pray.
The pray, the thing that you couldn't pray, you know. That, oh, so glory, glory.
I can sleep. I think I'm both hot dreams and not weird things.
Yeah.
I don't have dreams that like keep me from sleeping or wear me out. No, it's definitely.
Yeah, we've been, you know, having these Wednesday men's meetings, and we've been, and last Wednesday we decided to pray against the enemy, you know, against some spirits, and it was a really good session, and it was funny because Pablo asked to be, I hope, do you mind if I'm sharing? Okay. Asked to be prayed for, and so we were praying for him, and he, right before we did, he said, you know, because he had really helped me weeks before on how to start coming against this problem I was having, you know. And the thing was to say, you know, Lord, give me the strength to rebuke the enemy so he can't come into my temple. And so I kept praying that every morning and praying that I would keep resisting until he would flee, you know. Well, we got there Wednesday night, and Pablo, you know, in humbleness, shared that he says, you know, the thing I told you, he says, I can't do that. I can't pray that thing I told you to do. And so when we started praying for him, I noticed after we were praying for a while that all of a sudden Pablo was praying that prayer, basically, in his own words. And so when we got done, I said, well, I don't know, you know, if you felt the release of a spirit or not, but I know there's a victory here tonight because you couldn't pray, and you were doing that the whole time during the prayer session, you know. So that was a good thing, and maybe because he's not here, I won't do a big deal. But we prayed with Glenn because he wanted prayer too. And I asked to pray with him to receive the gift of Holy Spirit. That kind of opened some things. But so I'm kind of sad in my heart, thinking that maybe I got a feeling they might come here more often this summer, possibly. You know, I don't know, but because they always go up and spend time at a cabin during the summer. Trailer or whatever. So I'm hoping that might be, but just in really encouraging that, and see those kinds of things that are starting to develop are, that's why I was encouraged to think, well, why would God be doing this? If, you know, there's got to be a reason, you know, he wants to get us ready, I think. So one of the things we discussed was, you know, we were coming every Sunday, and Pablo or somebody would share, yeah, I just feel like I got the Spirit working on me. And I said, you know, oh, maybe we discussed that in the service last Sunday, and that's why we decided to pray Wednesday. But it was like, yeah, we did. well, let's quit talking about them. Let's go after them, you know, kind of, you know. And you got to do that by the leading of the Lord, too. You know, you can't just. But so that's the thing that's starting to develop. And it's any time that any people of God want to be purged or cleansed, nothing but good can come, you know. Nothing but good can come. I mean, that's totally what he wants, you know. That's why he would cry out to Israel all the time, come back to me. Let me take care of you. You've went and made these trees your God and everything else and the sun and the moon. Where am I? And what have they done for you? Have they even spoken to you? You know, I mean, he says things like that. Talk about a God that's so awesome but can be so personal about things, you know. Well, you've been talking to this tree. Has it done you any good? You know, I mean, it just basically says that. And come back to me. I'll set you free. I'll take care of you. And he would remind him, you know, 40 years in the desert. Did your shoes ever wear out? Did your clothes wear out? You know, you couldn't make new ones in the desert. That's amazing. You know, we have stuff like that that we can start relying on too, crying out to the Lord for, you know, if we, and we got to be careful, of course, and you know, this whole thing with doctors and everything, yeah, it's a difficult thing. And every person has to be where they're at with their faith. But keep praying that your faith increases, you know. And I have some things that I'm strong about relying on the Lord. And there's other things that it's not a big deal to me, so I go to the doctor, you know. Not, well, I haven't actually been that sick, but go for checkups. And then I started thinking, you know, just in the last week or so, listening and whatnot, and I thought, I don't know if I want to just go for, say, a colonoscopy. I'm just going to believe the Lord's going to take care of me. Now, I still have some other issues that I'm... So, you know, we're all in a different place. And that's why I won't judge you wherever you're at. And whatever you do, that's between you and God and you, you know, where you're at. So, but let's keep praying that we get more and more and more dependent on God. Because if we do and we want to lean, He will be faithful. He will come to our rescue. So, well, maybe somebody else has something to share.
It says on here, in this 2 Timothy, or
1
Timothy, it says God's will is for all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. In Romans chapter 10, verse 2, it says...
I can't figure it out.
Oh. It says that... the Jews... had a zeal for God, but not after knowledge. That's what it says. They had a zeal for God, but not after knowledge. And you know what? It's not just the Jews. There's lots of those in that condition. There's a lot of people that we, you and I know, and we can't be a judge of it. It's just like what Ken was just saying. Joanne, of her own volition, she says, I'm 80 years old, and I'm going to trust God for my healing. And no matter what anybody else wants or doesn't want, and she's not against going to the doctor. And but there's reasons. She has some reasons besides this, because of, you know, of conditions and circumstances and so forth. And so she's been eating this dietary or diet kind of a thing that Candy has suggested, and she's doing phenomenal. No pain. Her complexion is excellent. She's doing better every day. She said, I mean, this morning she was in good shape. And I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking, how can she be? But she is. She's doing very, very good. And she would have come this morning. If we could move the bathroom closer, she would be here. And but this morning she's laid down so much resting and sleeping that she says, I got enough energy to take a shower and get ready, but I don't know if I have enough energy to sit in church. And I said, well, you will. Just, you know, we'll just pray for you and you'll be fine because she's getting better. And the Bible says, in which we very seldom do we understand this or have the patience or the faith to wait for it. It says, believers shall lay hands on the sick and they shall be immediately healed. No, don't say that. And they shall recover. And if I've ever seen a recovery, thank God. It's in my beautiful wife that I love. There is a recovery. And it's better, and it's better, and it's better. And she says, make sure you tell everybody that I'm doing lots better. And she is. She's doing better all the time. I don't know. I was going to say something, but I forgot what it was.
Did you find it?
Yeah. I was.
Well, it's a few people, if you all... Yeah, well, let's...